And now a story about family love, personal transformations, and the challenges of aging. It begins with a familiar scene to many families, a mother, Dolly, and her son Bruce watching the TV show Jeopardy.
Now that Bruce has moved back home, they tune in as though nothing has changed, though of course everything has. He's 46 now, marginally employed, Dolly a year shy of 80 and in questionable health. In 3 decades, they and the world have transformed unrecognizably. Jeopardy is exactly the same.
That's Jennifer Haig reading from her short story, Sublimation, which is this year's selection for the Boston Book Festival's One City, One Story program. That means that 30,000 free copies of her story will be distributed across the city. It will also be made available online. The idea is to foster a love of reading and start a citywide discussion about one story. Jennifer Haig came to our studios earlier today to talk about her story.
I'm always fascinated by the relationship between parents and their adult children. For most of us, these are some of the most complicated relationships we ever have because they have to change and change and change again over so many stages of our lives. This story is about a mother and son who find themselves living under the same roof again, something neither one of them ever expected to do.
And thought would just be temporary.
Yeah, absolutely. And the mother has found out something about her son that it's not new. It's been a part of his life for a long time, but she just now found out about it. So she's in this uncomfortable position of having to revise a lot of her beliefs about her son and even revise some of her memories of their shared history.
And I do want to be careful we don't give away what she finds, but I do want to comment that when the revelation happens, she has this line that I just thought was priceless. She says, "It's all right, dear. I don't mind." And it reminded me about mothers, that just sort of unconditional love, even when they're a little shaken by what they've learned about how their child has changed, they just still want you to be you and they want everything to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that line is really emblematic of the character of Dolly.
The mother.
Yes. She's, when she says it, It comes from her heart. She means it. And yet, as the story unfolds, we see that it's quite a bit more complicated than that.
Jennifer, would you read a different section of your story? She's talking about her son and how when he was quite young, he was really singled out as being exceptional.
Okay. At school, the nuns called him gifted, praised his careful penmanship, his quick arithmetic, his memory for names and dates. Who knew, then, that the world was about to change in unsettling ways, the whole human race plugged into computers morning, noon, and night? That handwriting and arithmetic would become obsolete, and knowledge itself would lose its value, once any half-bright teenager could, with a few keystrokes, conjure it from the air.
She's wrestling with change. Mm-hmm. There's another section like that where you write, "Where," Dolly wonders, "is everyone going?" She's looking at all these people racing around with their cell phones. Years ago, people stayed put. You found a job and kept it, bought a house and kept it. There were meals to cook and children to raise. And in this way, years passed. Now they seem to be everywhere, people. So that seems like another theme, adjusting to change, generational viewpoints, some generations who transition a little easier to how things changed.
Dolly is nearly 80 years old as the story opens. She is of a generation that has seen an extraordinary level of technological change over several decades. And this cohort of people has been asked to change again and again and again and again. And it seems to her that there's no end to the change demanded of her. She's constantly in this position of having to revise her beliefs and her expectations about life.
Jennifer, you also write novels in addition to short stories. How do you land when you're creating a new work of writing on whether it's a novel or it's a short story? And do you like toggling between the two?
I love toggling between the two. I'm often asked, which is my favorite form to write in? And the answer is, whichever one I'm not writing at the time. When I'm deep in a novel, I would love to put it down and just dash off a short story. And when I'm writing a short story, I long to be inside a novel. You know, it's clear to me from the outset whether I'm writing a short story or a novel. It seems to me that a short story is a very specific thing. It's about a particular moment and all the ramifications of that moment. Whereas a novel is, it's a series of moments, and none of them has the same focal power as a short story does, because by its very nature, it's a series of episodes strung together.
And what do you consider the state or the status of the short story these days and the challenges for writers who want to write them?
I think there are marvelous short stories being written and not enough people reading them, and that's the challenge, is the work is out there. It's a question of getting it into the hands of readers. There are fewer and fewer magazines that publish them. And I think now in the age when a lot of people are using e-readers, it is a great opportunity for the short story because it's just about the right length to read on a screen.
Well, also, we hear a lot of lamenting about people's attention spans being shorter, which in some ways means it might be a perfect era for the short story.
It seems intuitive to me, but I think the publishing world does not share my thinking on that.
Jennifer, you live in Rosendale.
Yes.
What do you think the experience is of being a writer based in Boston versus a place like New York, where writers tend to think instinctively they have to flock?
Boston is a terrific writer's town for a bunch of reasons. One of them being that you go to parties and you meet other writers and they talk about what they're reading and what they're writing, not about who got a big advance or who got a bad review in the Times or whose book tanked or who won a big prize. I think for a writer living in New York, it is very, very challenging not to have that static resounding in your head.
What do you think as a writer about what the Boston Book Festival has become over the years?
It's astonishing to me how influential it has become in such a very short time. Boston is a very literary city. It's a great city for readers as well as for writers. It's a natural fit for Boston to have this because I think there's a hunger for it.
Jennifer Haig is author of the short story Sublimation, which is this year's selection for One City, One Story. It's an initiative by the Boston Book Festival to spread the joy of reading in Boston. Jennifer, thanks for coming to the studio.
Thank you.
And by the way, you'll be giving a town hall-style discussion of your story at the festival this Saturday, is that right?
That's right.
What time is that?
2:00.
Sounds good. You can find more information and a link to Sublimation at our website, radioboston.org.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.